Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is August 7th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing good. Just it's major championship season. That means late night Bixby's and recording with you.
Oh, well, fantastic. I don't know where we were going. And it's great. West Coast Major Championship. Now, the last one, we were together. Last West Coast Major Championship, so we weren't up late, you know, watching golf deep into the night. We were present, you know, at nightfall in Pebble Beach, but it seems like you were tiring. You were having stamina issues getting through today.
I was fatigued. I don't know what it was. I think it's because it was just in my house, you know, I was having to do knick-knack chores while the golf's on. You know, I like to spend major weeks, you know, in solidarity, isolation.
Solitude. Yeah. Yeah.
And
you got a newborn coming, son. You better be ready. You better be ready. Don't be tired from watching golf.
I haven't parked for 12 hours of golf in a while. I'll tell you what, it was a speed bump when it went to the CBS. I feel like the pace of the coverage just changed and really put a slowdown in my afternoon.
Yeah, there was, you know, I was kind of doing a child care transition at that point, but all I noticed was just the absolute chef's kiss. The CBS going live with a whale flopping around in the ocean. Like, just the most chef's kiss, perfect. We are with CBS. There's a body of water in the vicinity. We will find the animals and they will lead the coverage. And that's all I noticed about that transition. The gap, I was busy doing chores and stuff.
So. I don't want to talk anymore about coverage because there was a wonderful day of golf to talk about.
What do you want to talk about first? You want to go with Jeff Hart, your guy?
I want to talk about, we could talk about Jeff Hart in a little bit, but let's talk about Todd Watch.
It's unbelievable. Brendan Todd. I mean, so I saw someone tweeting like he was averaging like 256 off the tee. I think they take that from what, like two holes? It's not like a sample.
I'll get your numbers here. Pull it up.
Okay.
He averaged 277.
Okay. Not great. He had like 230 into his last hole, the ninth hole of the day. Saved a par with a hell of a comeback putt. A serious take. Like, what do you glean from him being at the top of the leaderboard, hitting that where we're told, you know, Bryson's like, it's all in front of you, whatever that quote means, you just hit it as far as you can and figure it out. Where a guy is averaging 277 is tied for the lead.
I think the thing I really learned today from watching was how challenging it is in the rough there. And when I played in March, I didn't hit my driver very well. I was in the rough all day, and I was hacking. Like, it was really hard then. And yeah. I think that's the thing, is that if you look at the big name players that played poorly or struggled, Rahm, JT, Spieth, who am I missing? I don't think Ricky counts as one.
No, but doesn't. No, no.
But they all drove it really poorly. Rory drove it really poorly for their level of driving.
Do you count Sergio?
No.
No.
But those guys all drove it poorly. And then you got quotes like Tiger talking about how you need to, this place is about finding fairways. You know, Rahm talked about how hard it is from the rough. And I think that's going to be a big factor. You know, Todd got away with not hitting a ton of fairways today.
Yeah, he didn't. I know it's not long, but he wasn't particularly straight either.
I think the fairway stat can be a little bit misleading too, because intermediate rough gets counted as a miss, and in stuff like this, I think it almost should be counted as a fairway. So it's tricky because, like, 18, for example, it says Todd hit 8 of 14 fairways. 18, he's in the intermediate cut. So, you know, when you're 240 and then, or whatever he was,
232.
In the intermediate cut, it's better to be.
Same.
Yeah, it's probably better to be there for him.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing is that. And you saw Bryson, like, when he got in trouble, he missed fairways. All these guys, everything, Brooks, when he got in trouble, he missed fairways. Like, one, he hit into the middle of the trees. Oh, that was a huge bogey save for Brooks there in that round, going back to, like, what seems like 2 days ago.
So, are we minimizing power with this kind of setup, this high rough, narrow fairway type setup? We see a Zatch. Now, I should be clear, like, it looks like Todd, Zatch, they made their ground up, like, their putting was exceptional today. It wasn't necessarily because they were gaining strokes off the tee because they weren't hitting in the rough. But are we neutralizing some of the bombers at all? Or no, we're not ready to say that yet.
I don't think you can say that because it's only one round in. And we see it's going to be, if we keep the variety we have on the board today through the tournament, you could probably say that. But I don't think that's going to be the case. It'd be great to see a couple guys hang around. And I think that are... The fairway is so valuable out there, but it's just so hard to hit a lot of fairways when they're 25 yards wide.
25, yep.
And that's where I kind of struggle with how they narrow fairways sometimes, because it doesn't reward an accurate player. You reward, like at Aaron Hills, you rewarded accurate players because they could hit all of them. And if you were a long hitter, you know, and people complain about Brooks, but Brooks had it on a string that week, you know?
Right.
And you saw guys like DJ and Jason Day and Rory struggle there.
How about your guy, Marty Keimer? Who talked about them in their preview pod? We did. We talked about Zatch. We talked about Marty
and
Keimer.
Todd.
Todd's just every show. That's a regular recurring segment. I honestly, you know, I almost tweeted earlier in the day, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Brendan Todd was playing this event, like, for the Wyndham Rewards points. Like, not even, you know, he's just out there trying to get as much Wyndham Rewards as he can and, you know, move on to the next event in the playoffs. But here he is. He's shooting 65. What did you make of the course? What did you make? There's a bucket of 66s out there. We don't need to talk. You want to talk course right now?
Yeah, it's just, okay. I don't know if it's going to really separate players. That's a concern I have, is that just in general, the greens are so flat.
Tiger was saying that he thought the pins were hard today on ridges, the pin placements.
Well, so. That's the thing. They got to really push stuff to make it challenging.
There's still a bunch of 66s, 65s.
Yeah, and I thought it dried out pretty nicely in the afternoon. Like, it got that thud when you saw approach shots hit the greens and the wind was nice. And you started, I think there's just so much, I don't know if this is agronomically correct, but the moisture, it seems like in the morning from just the air, softens the course and slows it down, and then this afternoon we saw it play a lot firmer when the sun was out. But
Adam Scott had one that, like, looked like it hit off concrete, shot into the air. So.
How about him just getting off a plane,
swooping in?
Hasn't played competitive golf in 6 months and shoots 68.
You see, he kind of dogged Bryson.
I love it.
He goes, not to put him down, but like, there's so much buildup, you know. Wasn't that far. Wasn't that big, kind of, basically, is what he's getting at. But he goes, wanted to be clear, not to put him down. But that's Adam Scott. Just the complete opposite personality of Bryson. Has no time to indulge any of that bullshit, any of that nonsense. complete 180 degree opposite of Bryson. So I think when whatever, we'll talk about it later. Any other course thoughts with the low scores?
I mean, this is the way it's going to be, and it's fine.
Yeah,
you know, it's just the way it is. I think that
anything we could see dramatically change, and it's from a setup, like, or this is just kind of how it is. It's weather dependent. You know, maybe a windy day, but there's nothing. Not going to be any setup. Dramatic setup changes.
There's nothing there's nothing short of a renovation that can make this golf course more interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go.
Beautiful, beautiful views. Beautiful story of revitalization of a municipal golf course. You know, awesome facility, first tee facility. Awesome credit to the town, to the city having it. You know, really boring around the greens.
Okay. What else you got? Other, you want to talk about what more players?
Yeah. Did you watch any of Jeff Hart in the morning?
No.
I found myself mesmerized.
Where did you find him? Where was he? Was there a Jeff Hart stream?
It was super early. I think he was one under early in the morning. He was lighting it up, so he started getting shown because he was one under through five.
Oh, my God. Nobody was out on the course yet. Like, the Tiger hadn't come on yet. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And they cut to him putting on the green. He's putting cross-handed with a glove on. He's 60 years old.
Club Pro got in on the points thing from last year, right?
Yes.
Carried over based off of points last year. Was a Tour Pro, I believe, at some point for a stretch. But Jeff Hart, putting with the glove on.
So this amused you. Yeah, he was great. It was great. I mean, he looked like a senior that was played in like the Tuesday morning men's league Thursday morning men's league at Harding Park. And the best part is Alex Byers got a quote after the round, pulled a quote from him, and he mentioned that he had to hit driver from the fairway on five or six holes the greens.
Oh my God.
So I went in to look at some of his drives. On hole 18, he had his tee shot. He didn't get to the fairway.
Oh, is that the over the water?
Or it went 218 off the tee.
Was it dry?
It was dry. Okay. Primary 218 off the tee.
That's the story. That's like
on 16, his tee shot went 192. Now my dad.
That can't be right. Who's measuring these? Who are the volunteers out there shooting these?
On 15, 209.
He had a 192 yard drive?
Yes. On 13, he hit a 228 to the fairway. 464 yard hole. 228 to the fairway. And he had 238 in.
What did he shoot? How did he manage to shoot 77? That's incredible.
Plus 1.353 around the green. He chipped the hell out of the ball.
That sounds like that. You watched the Jaime Diaz story?
Yeah.
About the golf in San Francisco. And that sounds like when 12-year-old Johnny Miller was playing in the city or some match against like a pro or, you know, an ex-older adult. The guy took the tee boxes on 18 because 12-year-old Johnny Miller was no way he was going to clear the water. They moved the tee boxes, the blocks up like to the tees. They need to be doing that for Jeff Hart if he can't clear the lake on 18.
So
That's unbelievable. He won 192?
Yeah. So he had so his average got totally distorted. It says he averaged 240, but one drive had to have hit the cart path because it went 305.
Yeah.
Totally skewed the averages on 14. Everything else was 240 or below.
It's kind of amazing. He shot 77. He bested the assassin by a shot. Tough day for the assassin, Ken Danigawa. Yeah.
This guy's puffing him out there, 230, putting with his glove on in a major.
So
I would watch tomorrow. I would watch a featured group with Jeff Hart.
He's got to be off late, right? He's probably that first tee time in the second wave tomorrow. Maybe they'll get him going a little bit in that dead zone, the block before like Tiger comes on. They got to get a little Jeff Hart coverage. People demand it. Let's start shouting for that on Twitter. 200-yard drives. Amazing.
He didn't get it to the fairway on 18. It reminds me of the Feinstein's book about the Bethpage Open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where the guy who was trying to hit it in the walkway? Funk or
maybe Justin Leonard?
Maybe Sluman. Somebody was trying to hit it in the walkway. Why do you putt with your glove on? I mean, I don't wear a glove for any shots.
I don't know. Everybody always says that you take the glove off for feel, but not according to Jeff Hart. He's been doing it a long time. I wonder if he's just too lazy. He was in he's like in baggy rain gear too. So he just looked like this like old timer out there.
I mean, he's 60. He is old. He is an old timer. He's 60 years old. God's sakes, hitting at 192. Okay. Any other Jeff Hart thoughts?
That's all I wanted to talk about with Jeff.
I'm
going to
be locked in on him on Friday. You have any Jay Day thoughts?
He's been playing great golf.
Yeah, he's been playing good golf.
He's been doing everything on his own. We've heard less about,
the Stevie Boot Camp type, outsiders trying to whip him into shape.
I bet quarantine was good for him. Like, he probably just needed some time off, It seemed like he just was wounded all the time. And, some guys' break was really good for. I talked to my buddy. I played golf with my buddy Vince the other day. And he told me, he's like, the best thing that happened to me was this break. I was swinging really bad. I was in a funk. And I got this break and I put the golf clubs away for a while. And, then I came back with this whole new perspective. And I think for Day, he hasn't taken a break for 10 years, And this was a good break where he didn't have to do anything. And now he comes back and seems like he's healthier.
Sure. I guess. Yeah, sure. No, I mean, this isn't like a flash in the pan. He's played well for a month now.
He's a great golfer. He's a Hall of Fame golfer.
He is. Zach, any reaction to Zach?
Zach picked up 4 shots on the green, so.
This is the first.
I don't think he's going to be around.
First major I'm not writing or blogging about since Keegan Bradley. One, the wow. 2011. So, as someone who's not writing or having to blog about it, as far as I know, I wouldn't mind Zach Johnson winning just for that fact. I have to watch others write about that. But
I would love a Zach versus Brooks final pairing.
Here's
just
my
complete opposites.
I got a crossboard analogy here.
All right.
With Zach. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. This is impartial. I'm not an NL Central person. He's a St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Legit great, great career. Like, he's won a bunch. He's won 2 majors. Like, good program. Cardinals just do nothing for me. They just are so boring.
They
got a little bit of attitude about them, too. Zach is telling they lost the course. He has, like, a weird sense of humor. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's very boring. And this is, like, now he's, 40-something. It's like an 87-win Cardinals team. Getting in the World Series type thing if he were to be in contention. It's just boring. Doesn't move anything for me. But admittedly, great program. He's done some work over his career. Brooksy, right back in it. 66, 4 under.
So good. And he didn't even, he didn't take advantage of 10. He bogeyed 1. He left some stuff out there.
Yeah. Was he not a feature group? I mean, I guess he's on the ESPN Plus thing.
I don't know.
He's on the coverage anyway.
I saw a ton of Brooks Koepka today.
Okay.
I don't know who these people are that can watch feature groups and the coverage at the same time. I don't get it. I don't have the capacity to do that. You're either, if you were watching the featured groups, you're watching 3 guys play. If you're watching the I don't know.
Seemed like he would be the favorite. he's whatever, 5-1. Seems like it could even be lower.
I'm it seems it. Disrespectful to Todd.
Current odds. They don't have them as far as I can tell. Disrespectful to Todd. How about he won't say his driver name? I guess he switched from one to the other. And they're like, well, what'd you switch? They don't pay me. I'm not saying that.
He's got the TaylorMade going.
He switched from Callaway to TaylorMade. Is that accurate for this week? But he refuses to say either. He won't say anything. No, they don't pay me. We love Brooks for that. We love his agnostic equipment approach. Anything else? He continues to troll Bryson.
Did you like that? What do you... Can you run down for people for people that might have missed it what he said?
He's just using Bryson as a speed bag at this point. Until Bryson gets his majors, I think he's going to continue to do it. He said he's talking off the cuff in his press conference. So it's not planned. Yeah. And he talks about, his driver and getting ready. He goes, it's like a field thing. It's nothing scientific. And he starts laughing at himself. He starts grinning like the Grinch, ear to ear. The smile just comes across his face. Like, we don't need all these numbers. It's not too scientific. And then he just starts grinning. And this was also, they did some little vignette about eating and what you eat on the course. And he goes, I have like 5 strips of bacon, 18, like 7 eggs and 8 protein shakes. And then he's just cracks himself up. He's bursting, doubled over in the chair, laughing. A guy who doesn't show emotion. I think he's having more fun just popping Bryson every turn he can.
He knows
he is playing golf.
He knows he's just tap dancing in Bryson's kitchen. In Bryson's head, just tap dancing away in there.
Yeah, but on the golf front, he's a favorite, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of good players. He's got to deal with Mike Lorenzo Vera, Brendan Steele.
He didn't drive it great today, and that's the thing. If he starts to drive it better. He hit that. He had a couple foul balls. It wasn't in the fair, And I don't know if he can get if he hits double digit fairways the last 3 days or 2 of the last 3 days. I think he's going to be really hard to beat. Mm-hmm. It seems like double digit fairways is going to be really good out here.
Any Tiger thoughts?
He seems to know what
he wants to do.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's the thing. Is that my takeaway from today is obviously, distance is a huge, huge, huge advantage. But if a shorter hitter can totally play out here, like it's not Bethpage.
He's T20, 2 under, shot a 68. So, obviously he knows what he wants to do. That sounds like a just completely vacuous statement. But more like he comes off of courses and be like, I'm not sure how to play that, or I couldn't get the speed down. Or
let me tell you something. There's nothing to figure out how to play out there.
Well, I think he knows exactly how he wants to. I don't know. Bryson seems to take a different approach than Tiger this week. There are different approaches, I would say. And Tiger, I don't think, is a similar one to Bryson. He seems like he knows exactly how he wants to control his way around.
Yeah, Tiger said something in his post round. It was just essentially like, you got to hit fairways out here.
Hey, why did we get so much Sean Norris today?
I didn't get that.
I kept popping up. I know he was under par, but why are we getting Sean Norris?
It could
be over the head with Sean Norris.
It could be like the the tournament at the Gary Player Country Club in the South African tournament there, and we wouldn't get that much Sean Norris on Golf Channel at 5 a.m. as we got today. It was so confusing. I kept hearing, "Oh, it's going to cut over to Sean Morris." What? Sean Morris.
They just stick with these guys. Rory, another underwhelming start. Got it back. He's low Rory, thankfully. Low Rory. Sabatini was ahead of him for a while. But he's on the right side of the cut line, but seemed to squander opportunities at a place that's he's won before and feels set up well for him.
He keeps doing this in majors. He just gives himself no margin for error.
Based off of a first round score?
He has to play perfect golf.
Yeah.
Next 3 days to win.
He's 5 shots back with a lot of really good you know, talent between him and that five. Patrick Reed, my pick, 2 under 68. Bryson, 2 under 68. It was a good first round.
And he just the thing that is crazy is the problem with Rory today was the driver. Hit 6 of 14 fairways.
God, he really tugged one. Yeah.
That's the thing. His best, and I don't know if it. He just. It could be just a bad day, but they seem to keep happening and opening rounds, and it's got to be. It's something about getting started can be so hard in tournament golf. Just getting out of the gate. And I think that's something that's starting. You put so much time and effort and your expectations get so high into a big event, whether you're playing your club championship or you're playing, you know, a big match or whatever, or you're a professional playing a major, there's so much emphasis that it's so hard to get settled into a round. And it just seems like Rory struggles so much the first 8 holes of majors.
There is an obscene amount of guys. There's no separation on
none.
This.
There's well, holy there's nothing. Cow. There's nothing on the golf course that really separates people.
89 guys above the cut line. I mean, I know we got 18 more holes to go, but it's absurd. Benny Cook, your guy, on the right side of the cut line. Low pro, I assume. Low club pro.
Low club pro.
Okay, I think Rory could shoot like a 64.
Ju Young Kim, even par.
Man, he's a husky boy.
He is a husky boy.
He's, yeah, you know. I 18-year-old, youngest guy in the field. Anything else? You want to do a quick read?
Let's talk about Spieth. Or let's do the read first, and then we'll get to Spieth.
That's a good tease. Yeah. All right, it's Birthday Friday. Smith Devereaux. We have a new URL. Is that accurate?
Yes.
New URL. It is www.sdxwines.com/SGS. That will take you to our own personal landing page with Smith Devereaux.
It's like PDX, like Portland, short for Portland, PDX, but SDX.
SDXwines.com/SGS. That will take you to our own personal landing page where you can buy the Friday Junior 3-pack. It's a great kind of summer/fall assortment. The Arnold Palmer wines, the Arnold Palmer Magnum, which I've been known to
down
polish. Yeah. This is a, yeah, I won't say anything. Some of our favorite picks. And then, you know, also there's the wine club, which they would appreciate your patronage there. These guys are listeners. They came in to support the podcast. They are sending out free bottles of wine just to piss off Andy so we can read about birthdays. They'd like you to join the wine club. He's throwing out some crazy ideas that I'm not sure we're even going to green light yet. Wants to reward the wine club members. I said, I mean, don't go crazy for the wine. But if you join the wine club, I think
we're going to do a cool drawing.
Yeah, you will be rewarded in kind. So that's sdxwines.com/SGS. Let's do our birthday read.
Great wine. Great, delicious wine.
It's good wine. I end up with a lot of shitty wine. This is like noticeably good wine. You know, I've mentioned going to the big box store here and there, and there's a noticeable distinct difference. All right, let's get to our birthday winner for the 8-7. It's Ryan Gilbert. My 35th birthday is August 10th. I have 36 holes planned that day, and the wife does not know about. That sounds troubling. I've realized in my 8 years of marriage that the best way to break golf news to her is to wait until she's a few glasses of vino deep. She tends not to care about my golf shenanigans by that point. A good bottle of wine from Smith Devereaux, possibly a Cabernet, would go a long way into softening the blow and allowing me some good, relaxed B-day rounds without the threat of punishment when I return home.
What a good message.
So, Ryan Gilbert, you're getting that bottle of wine. We will connect you with the Smith Devereaux guys.
I tend to be a late, you know, I tend to make Mrs. Friedegg aware of golf pretty late, too. I kind of sneak him in a lot. She started to understand when I say, "Hey, what are we doing on Friday?"
Yeah.
You know? She'll be like, What are you doing?
Yeah. I see how that goes. Yep. Yep.
It's like I didn't think we had anything. So I decided I'm going to go play golf.
Honorable mention birthdays from TJ McAndrew. I don't see his son's name. So August 5th, he turned his son, TJ McAndrew's son, turned four, and he did a great impression of you, which I can't
put it up
play
on the Instagram.
I'll put it on Instagram. He goes, Brendan, I'm great. How are you doing? It's very good. His what is it, 4-year-old son. So TJ McAndrew, honorable mention. All right, let's move on.
Spieth.
Thanks again to Smith Devereaux, though. All right, Spieth.
Stinky.
Yeah. T1, what is he? He was 123 on the range graphic that everybody was sharing all afternoon.
That was cruel.
Sorting it out 3 hours after his round ended with Cam and Greller. Although Greller seemed a little disinterested, just leaning on the bag, staring off at the horizon.
I mean, he was sitting Indian style at one point, talking to McCormick on the range.
Spieth was?
Yeah.
Oh, 3 hours after a tee time finish at a major championship?
73,
T109.
This is a mental thing. It's not you hear all these, oh, he's striping it on the range. He's great. This is all mental.
What does that mean?
I've known people that can
hit lost
driver,
swing mentally,
who can hit driver like a superstar, but as soon as it's under the gun, they can't keep it on the planet.
Okay. Let's put a little turn on this. How many players right now, under 40, would not trade places with Jordan Spieth? So you get his resume to date, you get his current form and future prospects.
You inherit this?
Yes, but you got his resume to date, and you have his future prospects in current form. How many would not trade places with current Jordan Spieth? I think it would be Koepka. I think it would be Rory. Maybe some,
JT?
Colin Morikawa type. I guess, yeah.
I wouldn't want to inherit a potential swing yips with a driver.
But you have a resume. You've won a Masters, a British Open, a U.S. Open, a FedEx Cup, a Player of the Year. He's won, 12 times? We did a lot of spotlights. Guys, a lot of great legendary players. NCAA title. I think there's only under 40, there's three guys and maybe some
Martin
19,
Keimer.
19-year-old. What? Martin Keimer would Ernie trade with Spieth?
No.
Get that Masters dinner every day, every year?
No.
I'm kidding. He's got 11 PGA Tour wins, 14 professional wins. I don't know that there's... So, we do this, round to round shot. He's been showing on the range. We're going to get into psychoanalysis about it. He's not what he was. But there's very few people out there that I think wouldn't want to trade places with them, right? Give me some more names. Koepka, Rory, under 40. If you were like Matt Wolf, would you want to trade with... You would trade with him. You would get your Masters, your U.S. Open, your British Open.
I don't know. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but I just wouldn't want to inherit what's going on. This is like 3 years.
That's the Faustian bargain.
This is not a short-term thing, and we've been hearing the same thing. I'm close. I'm hitting it great on the range. There's clearly something wrong, and something what surprises me a little bit is that you've gone through this. You're in this horrible rut, and I don't know. At a certain point, there has to be a change considered. I'm not saying I'm not calling for anybody's jobs, but sometimes it might be good to go get a second opinion. Like if you get a doctor tells you one thing and you don't something and it's a big thing, you might go get a second opinion. And I don't think at this point it's not crazy to get a second opinion. There's clearly something's not working, right?
Yep. Yep.
I think I tweeted this. I think he just needs to go spend 2 weeks at somewhere and get his confidence back. He's got to go to Mammoth Dunes up at Sand Valley.
Oh, I saw that.
He literally can't miss a fairway out there if you're even trying to. So he's got to just go there and just blast it around for 2 weeks. He'll shoot a bunch of probably shoot some scores in the 50s and leave there feeling great.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of guys would change spots with them, and I don't think anyone's really had to suffer through it with this kind of microscope from shot to shot, aside from Tiger, obviously. All right, let's talk Bryson. Mr. Shaft.
Unreal that this happened. Every round, something happens.
He's ants, out of bounds, cameras, brands. Now he's breaking shafts, using it as a way to activate after the round. Was he using the plural? Someone tweeted at us. Did he use the plural? Shaths, like calves?
Possibly.
Someone's tweeted us. Did he say the word shaves?
I'm not somebody that can get on somebody for vocabulary or word pronunciation usage.
I'm not even getting on him. My mind's a little blown. I'm intrigued by how he's using that. Shaves. What do you make of that? He used it. He's like, oh, well, you know, it's a material. It wears, and eventually it happens. He leaned on it. Do you think he should have been allowed to put a new one in play?
Yeah, I like that rule. I think that's one of the stupid golf rules, was that you couldn't replace a club if it breaks in the middle of the round. It's like, you know, baseball, if your bat breaks,
you gotta swing, use the handle.
Yeah. He's so ridiculous.
But it's a different sport. You got 13 other clubs you can go to.
Yeah, but like if I get it, if you intentionally break it, and for a second I was thinking, well, like maybe intentionally, but he didn't intentionally break it. Like that's like a common one could say that it didn't happen swinging, so he shouldn't get to, because like he shouldn't. You don't lean on your driver then.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
especially when you're a thick boy.
When you got 18 protein shakes in your tummy, you shouldn't be leaning on your clubs. They're fragile at that point. There's a weight limit. I don't know. I don't think he should have been allowed to do it. I think he's got to figure it out. It's like, you know, I think you got to, you know, he's this bright guy. He can calculate on the fly. Just work it out. Figure it out together. I'll tell you what, that PGA guy they had on, wasn't going to be the one to jam him.
No.
He wasn't exactly, you know, Paratour on the Euro Tour. I'll tell you, Marty Sleeps, he wasn't letting that driver go in the trunk of the Bentley in the parking lot. Marty Sleeps was going to get that thing, break it open like Sammy Sosa's bat, and do a little investigative work. I'm surprised they let him just walk off with that.
Well, think about it from like a sport perspective. If you were in the Tour de France and your bike breaks, you think somebody's just going to go pull a new bike out of somebody's trunk and just, you just get to crank it up and set it up yourself? That's the other ridiculous thing about this whole golf world, is that like drivers aren't tested.
Well, like, we've mentioned that once or twice. Right. You see, he started hitting it like his drives after the new one were 20 yards farther. I think that was just, you know, fluky thing.
It could be wind too, and the course firming up and certain
holes.
The
driver's hot, it's from hits, repeated hits to the face, not a new one.
Allegedly.
Who knows? Maybe they come hot as a, you know, whatever.
But he...
he's 2 under. 68.
This is the thing with the way he plays now, and I don't know if it might be like, I get this feeling, I got it in Detroit too, where I didn't even feel like he played well. And today was the same thing. He wasn't even playing well. He made some putts, and maybe he just sucks at everything except for hitting driver and putting. But I just feel like,
that's a good point.
He's not even playing that well, and he's just like, it's just so simple with how far he hits it. Like, he did not play well today. He shot 2 under. It's nuts.
It really is. Yeah, he was lost strokes around the green. He was just plus 0.4 approach, from what I can tell.
He didn't even drive it that well either.
No.
Like, he hit some great drives, but he also hit some off-the-planet drives.
He was so happy he broke his driver.
Oh.
He was like giddy. He's like, oh, I don't know, man. Look at me. I worked my driver. He's like so just like hamming it up with anyone who wanted to listen, which I don't think anyone actually wanted to listen.
How about the cameraman? The cameraman got nice and close on him there.
Yeah. Now he's happy to oblige the brand and, you know, get in my face. Give me all the camera time I crave.
One of my favorite parts of the whole moment was how he thought it broke because he was swinging so hard or hitting it so hard.
And then
it came out that it broke because he leaned on it.
Ricky and Adam Scott could not have been less interested in that. They're just like, this guy is a circus act. All right, what else do we got here? FedEx Cup standings?
Yeah, that couldn't have made you happy.
Why are they doing that? Why is nothing sacred? Can we get some sort of sanctuary from the FedEx Cup standings for one fucking week? One week. But we got that. Justin Thomas, best player in the world, all that stuff. I think they kind of put the mush on Rahm, pairing him with Sergio.
Yeah, and Phil?
And Phil. It's just a horrible pairing. And, you know, he went to the podium on Tuesday or something, right? Like the second pairings came out. And I was reading the body language, looking at him, and he just looked displeased, like, oh, got to do this. Like, yeah, I just found out. Did not look thrilled about it.
He seemed upset today, right away.
Yes, it was noticeable. I heard today he and Sergio do not get along at all. Not friendly. You know, you'd figure they're Spaniards. They learned at the knee of Seve for their, you know, growing up on the beach. Of course, these are all the narratives they ram down our throats. But I heard he and Sergio aren't exactly kind. And maybe the significant others aren't exactly simpatico either. He's out there. They screwed him with that pairing.
Yeah, it is a terrible pairing. Everybody in that group was hitting it all over the map. It's amazing that Rahm shot even par. He played horrible.
Yes, he did not play well.
He was pissed off from like hole two, too. Mm-hmm. He was just a bad attitude. It totally was like a body language group thing where there was just nothing going well in there. And you know, if Sergio's playing bad, he's going to be pouty. And he, you know, Rahm in his post round, ringing endorsement for no fans.
I have that on my list. What do you say?
He said, I would say out here, especially with how thick the grass is, there's a couple holes where if you miss by a larger margin, the spectators would most likely give you a good, pretty good lie where they all were walking. It's trampled down. You have a much better chance. Now it seems like the more you miss, the worse it's going to get. Essentially feels like the better player is going to have a chance. When it comes to those moments, I had a pretty good moment myself at Memorial on the 16th. Then he started talking about fans not being there, about like how the energies are just not there.
So what did you think about that today? Did you notice any difference? Or it was just business as usual, as usual for the last 8 weeks or whatever that we've come to know. Anything on the fans' impact? Did you notice any change with it being a major? Majors, you used to being pretty locked in a very specific kind of atmosphere. Did you notice anything?
Paul Casey, I was watching interviews at the end, and Paul Casey talked about how he'd been struggling, really struggling with the energy at tour events week to week. Since the return.
Okay.
And he was like, but this week I felt the energy. I really like it. It's a major. I wasn't struggling to get up for the event.
Interesting.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was weird in the morning.
I was going to say that at the start, it was a little weird.
Announcing them on the first tee, and then you're looking at these guys on the first tee of a major championship, like Brooks, he's won two in a row, and there's nobody around him in the frame, and he's hitting, and it's just pure silence. It's just crazy. That's the crazy part. It's like the introductions.
Yep.
What do you think?
I noticed that was it. I just noticed. I wrote it down this morning. I noticed it. Not necessarily for better or worse. It's just you notice it again because all of a sudden you're taking the temperature of a major championship. I thought it was fine by the end of the day. You know, I think everybody gets in line.
Who were you most disappointed by today?
That's a good question. I was going to say Rory, Tyler Duncan, T128, shot 74. I don't know. The Muscat. Who were you most disappointed by?
Probably JT.
Willett kind of crapped himself. I thought he wouldn't be too bad. Cantlay. Cantlay was my guy.
Yeah, he was bad.
I had him in some stuff, and he shot a 73. Although we haven't really heard much from him since the restart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, what was JT? What was your issue with JT?
Plus one. It's just another example. He made two doubles. Like, one of the things in majors, you just can't make doubles, you know?
Yeah.
It's very rare for major winners to make more than one. If you make one double in a week, it's, you know, I feel like you've made two doubles. It just, I don't know. He's now one over. It's going to be really hard for him. I mean, right now, I'd say, like, it's more likely he doesn't finish in the top 15 than he does.
Were you disappointed in Club Pro, Zach?
Very.
I think he's DFL, is he not?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, 82. So I'm going to win that head-to-head. Unless Zach really just, you know, hits it out into Lake Merced and starts going off for a swim.
Chez is, I think, plus one. He's got a two-shot advantage on Spieth.
We each got a dog in the head-to-heads. We're doing okay there. You're not disappointed by Chez, though?
I'm not disappointed. You know, Chez is going to come on tomorrow.
Okay.
He didn't have a good day today. He didn't have his A game today. He'll be back tomorrow. He might have to start hitting the 222 poofer out there like he was on 18 at Pebble. Bring that back.
Jeff Hart. What'd you think of ESPN?
I thought the morning was fantastic.
It was great. It was so great to just have some new old voices, if that makes sense. Guys, we're of a certain generation. We're in our 30s, where some voices just resonate. We have nostalgia. We have memories. And, like, I don't know. Hearing Wright Thompson do an essay for me is just, like, hits me right in the sweet spot, maybe in the way that Jack Whitaker did for another generation. Love Sean McDonough. Just no BS. Just adds a little bit of levity to the cracks on things. I guess penalty area for some reason is now part of the jargon, and that's what we're supposed to use. You know, and then after Bryson does his little Shafts promo, he goes, have you ever heard anyone love Shafts more than Bryson? Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, this is like NASCAR. You know, they're popping them. It's just good to have a little bit more levity, and maybe that's because they're not under the thumb of the PGA Tour, and it's just a separate relationship. But
I don't know if this is, to me, like, Scott Van Pelt has so much more relatability, and like he just then you know, Jim Nance is a legend.
Yeah,
but there's a thing with Jim Nance. There's an air that he brings that's, you know, kind of like maybe a little stuffy. Maybe, you know, a little proper.
Serious.
And it is, you know, Scott Van Pelt. The other thing, you listen to Scott Van Pelt talk about calling golf. He's like, it's a joke. It's so easy. And he makes it sound really easy. Obviously, he's very talented. He's a head anchor on SportsCenter.
And when he screws up, he makes fun of himself.
Yes.
And he does, like, he said one today, like, oh, that'll find the fairway. And it's like, and it missed, and he's like, well, poor call. You're not supposed to say it in the air like that. It's like, poor call on me. He cracks on himself, self-deprecating.
It seems like he's more casual.
Yeah.
That injects a little bit more interest, like a more relatability to the telecast, and I think that is really valuable.
And then he can also pivot, though, to real kind of...
Yes.
A serious emotional, like, in a relatable way. Like, hey, we know the world sucks out there, and if we can do a little bit like this, and these guys are playing, you know, their normal major championship, however we can bring it to you, like, you know, we're glad we can do it. He pivots in a way. And obviously, I didn't say it in the words he can. That's why he's the pro making millions.
Yeah, obviously, both these guys are making millions of dollars. Both of them are uber successful. But I feel like Scott Van Pelt is at least, like, 10 or 15, probably 20 years less removed, like 20 years less removed from reality. Like Jim Nantz hasn't lived in like a real world for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem because he doesn't relate to the majority of viewers. And Scott Van Pelt, he covers all sports. He relates to people so much more because he does so many pieces on real things, you know? Yeah. It's not just, you know, I'm going to the Final Four, I'm going to the Masters, I'm going to Pebble Beach, you know, I'm staying at my house in Pebble Beach. Like, there's just more, I guess, I don't have a better word than real.
Okay.
To describe, no, I'm struggling with the right word.
No, I think you're conveying it pretty well, actually, quite honestly. Aside from the personalities, I don't want to get into the cover. It just looked crisp. It looked really good.
So many shots.
They have a great setting to obviously a backdrop with the lake in the morning. It looked really crisp. It just looked really good. And you got a ton of golf shots. You're watching Jeff Hart, for God's sakes.
I know. That was amazing.
Yeah. I forked over the $5 for the streaming on the fly and it worked. So no real issues.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Anything else on the PGA Championship first round? Are we going to do daily podcast probably?
Yeah. Likely. If you're going to do, yeah.
Okay. Unless the baby comes or something like that. We'll do that.
I don't think it's coming. It's upside down right now, so.
Okay. All right. There we go. What else we got? Anything else from PGA? Any players you want to crack on? Discuss.
You got anything?
No, I mean, I was going to go to A Pirate's Life for Me, the English Championship.
Scrivener.
How about that?
What a wonderful thing to wake up to this morning.
Oh, ho, yo, ho, A Pirate's Life for Me. He is 7-under, 1 off the lead. We had Cormac Charvin, which sounds like somebody who's just like made in a UK golfer lab. Like that's a name that you just like, you know, auto generate. Cormac Charvin leads the English Championship. He's 8-under. Thomas Dietry, don't call me Detry. Good leaderboard on the English Championship. Nice little, you know, if 12 hours isn't enough for you, you can do that prior to it.
See, this is the thing is with the major schedule, it was jarring to go straight into 12 hours. I feel like with the Masters leading it off, the smaller field, it's like 10 hours.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And they kind of, it kind of gets you conditioned for the big, and then, you know, then last year we went to the PGA and we had like 5 hours.
Right. We had a lot of
bones. And we had some
a little charm to ease your way in.
And then you go to the U.S. Open and you're ready to go. You're 2 majors in.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open. Then you get off the U.S. Open where Fox was just like wall-to-wall, crazy coverage. And then you got Coffee Golf where, you know, you're done at 1, but you're up at 3.
Yeah, through the night. Elsewhere, LPGA, they started Thursday, the Marathon Classic this week. Danielle Kane and Lydia Ko.
Whoa.
Co-leaders.
Back from the milk carton.
64. I mean, if you're at Mike Wan, you like those co-leaders, Danielle Kane and Lydia Ko. You got Megan Kane, Allie McDonald. Good group. I mean, a lot of the Koreans are not here. Some of those top-rated players aren't over here, but that is a good leaderboard for obviously a long way to go. Korn Ferry Tour, Drew Weaver leads 665. Any reaction there?
Drew Weaver, 2007 USAM champ.
Oh.
Or no, he won the amateur.
In the UK. Amateur championship?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he did well. I think he might have lost to the USAM in the final. I don't know. He was a great college player, but I mean, long time ago. He's been grinding for a while. It's kind of crazy, you know, just one of those guys that very, very highly regarded amateur that hasn't made it.
And then we have the U.S. Women's Amateur at Woodmont.
How's that been? You've been over there a little bit.
I got south with kid duty today, just entire day nuked out to the sea, best laid plans. I will be over there all day tomorrow. Still got a bunch of really good stories. It's a round of 32. You got the defending champ, Gabriel Ruffles, still involved. Highest ranked player in the field, Emilia Migliaccio, still involved. Amari Avery's involved. There's some really good stories. My buddy, who's like a little bit of a snob, he won't like me saying this. He goes, I'm not even watching the PGA. Best watch of the week is U.S. Women's AM. On a text chain. My other buddy's like, good take, man. Thanks for... Anyways, it's a great watch, and I think it will be over before, on the weekend, it'll be over before like the prime time. So I'm excited to go back there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anything else on results? I think we covered them all.
I think we got them all. Okay. Outside of that, I'll be back. We'll be back at it tomorrow.
You're going to do a Flashback Friday
tomorrow? Tomorrow, Flashback Friday.
That's the uniqueness of this major week.
Yeah, so. You got to actually do it on Friday.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah.
Enjoy.
A thing for everybody that ordered hats, certain hat, performance hats.
Okay.
In our recent merch thing. Just so you know, we were told they were going to be shipping out on the day or the week.
A certain date that was a while ago. They haven't.
Yeah. Okay. There's been a production issue. Apparently. Okay. And
they will be in hand next week and out next week.
Yeah, we are sorry. This is we were excited to get those out ASAP. We had everything else in hand. This was just a very unfortunate setback. So
it's good. It's all right. We'll be a week late or so. But apologize for that.
Yeah.
John Peterson's coming back. Huh? People are sending us a lot of messages about that.
2021.
Spring 2020. I'm just getting the next one. He's watching Brendan Todd, apparently, and taking inspiration from that. Is John Peterson the next Brendan Todd?
Unbelievable.
Okay. All right, everyone, enjoy your Thursday nights, Friday mornings. We got another full day of golf, and we'll be back with you on Friday night.